Go lower. Or just tie it to the thingy.
And this is where I'm going to spend the majority of time. Okay. So, with bones in the skull, the big thing you have to remember is they're normally named for what they are over. Okay? And the regions on the brain below it are named for the regions of the skull. They have a synonym name. Okay? They're very similar. Okay? Your frontal lobe of your brain is under your frontal bone. Okay? Your temporal bone is going to be over your temporal lobe of your brain. Okay? You are also going to have your parietal lobe of your brain, which is under your parietal bone. You have your nasal bone. You are in the nasal region. This nasal bone is usually what they take and break for your reconstructive surgery or plastic surgery. Okay? They're going in to break this and they're going to adjust the cartilage that is attached to it. Okay? So it gets back into more of the hand up bone, but your zygomatic arch. This is part of what protects your eye. So the way that I always kind of remembered it is it always has a Z shape. So it's going to start here, come back out. Okay? So from the frontal view, it looks like a Z, the zygomatic arch. I also tend to remember it because when I was living in Corpus Christi and going to school, there was a student, I want to say he was a student of the school at one time, but was not currently enrolled. He was walking down downtown street and somebody ran up on him and socked him in the face, right? When they did, they ruptured his zygomatic arch, shoved it up into his eyeball, they left him there. He actually ended up dying because of this injury. They ended up having severe trauma to his head because of it. So the zygomatic arch pushed up and then ruptured, if I remember right, into that sphenoid bone here. Okay? So it's kind of something that is fairly important. If you injure your zygomatic arch, your zygomatic bone, typically your eye tends to fall because it is actually supporting your eye in place. Alright, you do have your optic canal on the very inside portion. This is where your optic nerve is going to actually pass through. Okay, that is the little hole on the inside. Okay, now there are a couple different holes inside this region. Alright. You are also going to have, in this case, the muscle. When we get the muscles, it's going to sit over the top of the temporal bone. So it's called your temporalis. Your temporalis comes up and actually inserts into your fascia over your skull. Let's see. Your middle nasal conchae. So, in this case, you can see they're in the middle of the nasal cavity. Inferior nasal conchae. It's on the bottom portion of it. It's inferior. Okay? If you take a hard hit to the nose, you can rupture that because the cartilage will apply the force back there. If you rupture that, you will have nasal canal bleeding, and that's where problems really start if you are in the remote and application. Difference between the two. So, maxilla and mandible, they are very easily confused for y'all because they both start with an M and they both have teeth. Okay? Maxilla, usually remember because the maximum is the higher of the two. Okay? Mandible, it's always the opposite. Okay? Mandibular. Okay? the vomer. The vomer is actually the upright in the middle of the nose. The way that I remember it is different than the way y'all probably remember it, but I'll keep going away. In fish, they have actually a vomery teeth patch in some fish. Okay? And for some reason that stuck with me better than anything else is because they have that vomery teeth patch. What they use it for is grinding things in their mouth. Okay? Alright. So, let's see.
What's this?
So, hyoid. Hyoid, yep. Okay.
It doesn't go up or down?
A way that I always remembered it. Well, you can say that, but it looks like an H, right?
Oh. Where's that at?
It is right here.
It's in your book. Okay. It's in the drawer.
Yeah. Oh. So, let's see. He's got it still attached right here. So, you can see it on the real actual skull. Okay. So, ethmoid, lacrimal, and zygomatic bones are better seen in another view. Okay, we'll look at this view. So, this kind of gives you a loop. What?
A glow.
Yeah. So, all right. when you actually come in here and look, and this is not the best picture that I'm going to show you. This is what I did when I did this. Okay, so. Here we go. Alright, so this is the inside cut portion. So inside here you have the foam color code. I like this picture a lot. Okay, your sphenoid bone. You can see that there are specific sutures when you look at it. You are also going to have from here your temporal bone, which is not really too deep. Okay, now it is. Okay, and then your occipital bone, your ethmoid bone is going to be here, and your sphenoid bone, which I already talked about, and then your frontal bone. Okay, so, like I said, those three bones, your sphenoid, your occipital, and your ethmoid bone are best seen here. Alright, we good? So, the skull is probably one of the hardest to get. Okay. So that one here. But also spend some time here. Okay. So, fairly basic. Okay. The head of the femur. Where is your femur? Okay, it is the long bone that comes out of your. I'm gonna let y'all look this one up. Okay, there is a cartilage disc inside here that coats this, and this is actually where the head of the femur will insert. Okay, the head of the femur inserts here. When it inserts, you have from it the neck, which is gonna give it the angle out, so that way you can have range of motion like this. Okay. Otherwise, you can't do that. You are going to have a greater trochanter and a lesser trochanter, okay? Greater is going to typically, in this case, be more superior, okay? So that's the way you can remember it. Greater is more superior. Lesser trochanter is on the inside portion, okay? And it is lesser, so it is lower. It's going to be actually inferior. It's inferior and medial, too.
Would that be the right leg, the right femur on your
picture? Should be, yes. Given the way that this is actually sectioned right here, this should be the right leg. Okay.
It's
inferior to medial. So it's the low and the middle. Okay. So when you compare the two of them together, the easiest way to tell which one's right and which one's left, okay, is actually gonna be the direction of these two cartilage bands right here. Okay, you have your condyles, which are gonna actually have discs that they sit on, okay? So, you have your medial epicondyle, okay? You're gonna have your medial condyle and you're gonna have your patellar glute groove. Your patellar groove is what's going to keep your patella in the same place when you rotate your leg. Okay? Good? Tracking? Alright. So, the neck of the femur, I showed you that here, left trochanter. There may be some stuff that I'm missing, I don't have those listed and memorized. The body or shaft of the femur, okay? Because some of the stuff that I know, there's a good portion of the stuff that I have in my head that is not listed on your practical, or not listed on your lab. And I'm gonna sit down and make sure that I limit myself to what specifically on the lab. Okay, I will not intentionally ask you anything that's off that list. Okay? Because that's just wrong. Okay, so, another one is a good one. And, see my own big spelling count? Okay. Alright. So, this is where it gets kind of torn. Okay. So, I think capitulum is on there, okay, for your actual humerus. The capitulum is where you're going to have your head of your radius that's going to slide across, okay? The capitulum and actually going through and looking at your trochlea, okay? Your capitulum and your trochlea are going to be part of how you rotate your arm, okay? Now, you have this lovely little concave head on your radius. That's what I was pointing at earlier. That concave head on your radius is what allows for that rotation to happen. Okay? Because that allows it to rotate around the point and slide up and down this way. Okay? Alright. Because it is placed onto the capitulum. Alright. In this case, you have your trochlea, and you notice your trochlea has a directional groove in it. Okay? That is part of what keeps your actual ulna in line. You are also going to have your electron process. This is where your triceps are going to attach. Your triceps brachii, the big muscle on the back of your arm. That's where it attaches. That's what makes you be able to do this. Okay? And you can do it fairly fast, right? Okay? You can do it faster than a mole can, but a mole can do this a whole lot more powerful than you can. Okay? It is because of the size of that process. In this case, your process is about that long. Okay, you have like zero lever here. This means that you have speed because you just do this and it moves really fast. Okay? But if you were to stretch that out, imagine that this is your like, kind of process. You lose speed, but you're going to gain power because you've got that extra lever. It's like having leverage. Your dad tells you to get the cheetah bar. Okay? You have a wrench, and your wrench is only about this long. You get the cheetah bar, which now makes your wrench this long. Okay? You increase your lever size. That is what happens when you increase your electron process. But in anatomy, this is the electron process, the only one you need to know. Okay. So, let's see. Your electron fossa. Fossa is like a ditch. Okay? Foramen, fold, fossa, ditch. Okay? Your condyles are cone-like shapes. Okay? It's a cone-like shape, by a condyle. Okay? Depending on where it's at, you may be able to determine what its name is. Okay, so in this case, it's going to be a lateral epicondyle. So it's on the surface, but it's on the lateral surface, to be specific. Okay? Alright. So, looking actually at your humerus, because it's really humerus. Okay, you do have, and I think this is on your list, you have your radial groove. Okay? You should be able to identify your radial groove. You are also going to have the neck, and you have a greater tubercle. So,
no radial groove.
Okay, try it next year. All right, and this one shouldn't be on there. But that one's on there. You shouldn't have the deltoid tuberosity. Okay. That one definitely should not be there. So, the medial epicondyle should be medial condyle is towards the middle and anatomical position. So your medial condyle is here, then your lateral condyle. Yes, the one, yeah. Okay, so to get what she was saying, the medial condyle is what you feel on the inside of your elbow when you're in an anatomical position here. Okay, that's bone right here. Alright, it's actually a portion of the bone. Those are usually the ones that I stick to for the small things or the big, large bones, like your ribs, your ulna, your. Here we go. So, radius and ulna, being able to look at them in a pair and identify which one is which. Note that your radius is a little bit shorter than your ulna. And right here, you have that rotational joint that I was talking about that's going to be placed on the what? Fission. Okay? All right. Yes. So, I do not expect you to know. You should know these are carpals. You should know that you have your metacarpals and your phalanges. You don't need to know each one. That's well above this class.
No.
Okay.
I'm looking through this a little bit, so it's the last. And we also need to know that what's right and left, what's these little like indentations and all those little things. But that's just how many questions are going to be in the background? Because we have brain, we have bones, we have. I just want to say yes. So
probably the same amount.
What's that same thing?
40.
So we don't know.
Yep, welcome to that. So, here's the thing though, and this is where the one time that I will bring up and say that is probably the coolest thing I've seen yet is what's written on that wall right there. Is what you study in here is never really wasted as long as you use it. You have to make it usable for you. The thing is, quick example and then I'll shut up. My little brother, and this is why I think he wants to go to med school or PA school or something, is he was talking with my stepmother and said, hey, you know, what's going on? She's like, well, you know, this, that, and the other. She gave her symptoms. He said, you need to go to the ER right now. That was off of his memory 100%. He said, I'm going to look this up real quick and make sure I'm right. She had a clostridium difficile that was going septic in her body. If she had waited another day, she'd probably be dead. So he had learned that in his microbiology class. So something that you learn in here may help you understand something with your children, your significant other, your spouse, your relatives. Okay. It may help you describe something to them that they didn't understand before. So it's not truly wasted. So yes, you're cramming your head with all of this stuff and your stuff and all this stuff in a shoehorn. But for those of y'all who are wanting to go into nursing, EMT, you're wanting to go into anything that's looking at the market, you need to know as much of this as you can. Are you going to learn all of it in my class? No. Am I evaluating the efficiency of your learning in here? A little bit. Okay? Am I evaluating everything? No. Because the thing is, I don't expect you to leave here and 100% know everything. I expect you to leave here and turn around and say, I know a general, I got a good idea what's going on. Okay? And then what's going to happen is you're going to get into your nursing program. Those of you that are going into nursing, and they're going to hit you with this again. And then you're going to have to apply it. And then you're going to figure out what's really going on. Okay, why do I stick to the long bones in here? Most of the time, the long bones are the ones that are broken. Okay, why do I avoid carpals and tarsals? Because they make specialists for that, and I really don't even want to go into it myself. okay? That's just the general gist of it, is I'm not a bone guy. I work with sharks, they don't have bone. So, overall, yes, I feel your pain. I take things about myself. But that's why I do things the way I do. If you notice, I think you'll get the gist of my tests and practicals are fair. If they're not fair, I try to make them fair, okay? So, keep that in mind. I'm not here to kill you and put you in the ground, but I'm definitely here to test if you can take the time and put in the time to get this done. This is probably going to be one of the hardest classes you've ever had. Okay, it was the hardest for me. And I came back to teach it specifically because of that. Okay, we good?
So you want to know what to learn that I can't defeat?
So, you need to know the basics. You need to know phalanges. Okay? Metacarpals, carpals, okay? And you need to know how to identify the basics. Like, do you know which phalange this is? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay?
So not like you.
Yeah, no. And anything that's on your lap, so I don't think your lap, double check before I go on some crazy.
Carpals are in there.
It says carpals though, right?
It says all of them. There's 11. Yeah, there's 8 on there. So you're not going to have us know that or the bones in the foot, right?
Okay, let's put it this way. For the purposes of my lab, okay, know the difference between carpals, metacarpals, and phalanges, and tarsals, metatarsals, and phalanges. Okay?
And that's so
you don't need to know the individual bones in here. However, if you are planning on going to nursing school and you want to specialize in something like podiatry or anything like that, you probably should learn them. Okay? So, but for the purposes of my lab, I will not directly test you on those things. Okay? So, I've never done that in this class, nor would I intend to start putting it out because there is enough on all your other bones. Okay? Good?
Yeah.
Alright. So, because I think that's unnecessary. Okay, my bad, I didn't notice that before. Come out, home. Home. Okay, hopefully that gives y'all something to start with. Okay, so if you have questions, let me know. Otherwise, I suggest you get started. Okay?
There's a lot of cool.
Okay. All right. Yes. So I do not expect you to know. You should know these are carpals. You should know that you have your metacarpals and your phalanges. You don't need to know each one. That's well above this class.
No.
Okay.
I'm looking through this a little bit, so it's the lab, and we also need to know that what's right and left, what's these little indentations and all those little things. That's just probably the questions are going to be in the background because we have brain, we have bones, we have. I just want to say yes. So,
probably the same amount. 40.
So we don't know what to do with this over brain. All of a sudden, you're only going to get some more questions.
Yep. Welcome to that. So. Here's the thing though, and this is where the one time that I will bring up and say that is probably the coolest thing I've seen yet is what's written on that wall right there. Is what you study in here is never really wasted as long as you use it. You have to make it usable for you. The thing is, when my Okay. Quick example, and then I'll shut up. My little brother, and this is why I think he wants to go to med school or PA school or something, is he was talking with my stepmother and said, hey, you know, what's going on? She's like, well, you know, this, that, and the other. She gave her symptoms. He said, you need to go to the ER right now. That was off his memory 100%. He said, I'm going to look this up real quick and make sure I'm right. She had a calcium deficit that was going septic in her body. If she had waited another day, she'd probably be dead. So he had learned that in his microbiology class. So something that you learn in here may help you understand something with your children, your significant other, your spouse, your relatives. Okay? It may help you describe something to them that they didn't understand before. So it's not truly wasted. So yes, you're cramming your head with all of this stuff and you're stuffing all this stuff in a shoehorn. But for those of y'all who are wanting to go into nursing, EMT, you're wanting to go into anything that's looking at the market, you need to know as much of this as you can. Are you going to learn all of it in my class? No. Am I evaluating the efficiency of your learning in here? A little bit. Okay? Am I evaluating everything? No. Because the thing is, I don't expect you to leave here and 100% know everything. I expect you to leave here and turn around and say, I know a general, I got a good idea what's going on. Okay? And then what's going to happen is you're going to get into your nursing program. Those of y'all that are going into nursing, and they're going to hit you with this again. And then you're going to have to apply. And you got to figure out what's really going on. Okay? Why do I stick to the long bones in here? Most of the time, the long bones are the ones that are broken. Okay? Why do I avoid carpals and tarsals? Because they make specialists for that, and I really don't even want to go into it myself. Okay? That's just the general gist of it. Is, I'm not a bone guy. I work with sharks. They don't have bones. So, overall, yes, I feel your pain. I take this class myself. But that's why I do things the way I do. If you notice, I think y'all get the gist of my tests and practicals are fair. If they're not fair, I try to make them fair. Okay? So, keep that in mind. I'm not here to kill you and I'm going to come, but I'm definitely here to test if you can take the time and put in the time to get this done. This is probably going to be one of the hardest classes you've ever had. Okay, it was the hardest for me. And I came back to teach it specifically because of that. Okay? We good?
So you learn about the worm and the hands and feet?
So, you need to know the basics. You need to know phalanges. Okay? Metacarpals, carpals, okay? And you need to know how to identify the basics. Like, do you know which phalange this is? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay?
So not like this.
Yeah. Now, and anything that's on your lab, so I don't think your lab, double check before I go on some crazy.
Carpals are in there.
It says carpals though, right?
It says all of them. There's 11. Yeah, there's 8 on there. So you're not going to have us know that or the bones in the foot, right?
Okay, let's put it this way. For the purposes of my lab, okay, know the difference between carpals, metacarpals, and phalanges, and tarsals, metatarsals, and phalanges. Okay?
So
you don't need to know the individual bones in here. However, if you are planning on going to nursing school and you want to specialize in something like podiatry or anything like that, you probably should learn them. Okay? So, but for the purposes of my lab, I will not directly test you on those things. Okay? So, I've never done that in this class, and we're going to start doing it now because there's enough on all your other bones. Okay? It's good?
Yeah.
Alright. So, because I think that's unnecessary. Okay? My bad, I didn't notice that before. Come out. Come. Come.
Come.
ask them the questions.
Okay. Hopefully that gives y'all something to start with. Okay? So if you have questions, let me know. Otherwise, I suggest you get started. Okay?
There's a lot of calls. Can you tell us the whole thing? I see the